At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to another in a series of podcasts at Heinz Reads, which you can find at WCCLradio.com/podcasts. Scroll down, you'll find Heinz Reads. Another great guest joining me today on the podcast at this particular time, Larry Millette. Larry, who you have probably read, if not at the Pioneer Press or the St. Paul newspapers over the years, you probably have read him at Streetscapes in Star Tribune, just very recently on the story of the mansion that is no more. He's got a brand new book done by the University of Minnesota Press, and it is a fantastic story with so many great pictures and images that he was able to round up and capture. The story is called Metropolitan Dreams, the Scandalous Rise and Stunning Fall of a Minneapolis Masterpiece. Larry, hey, thanks for your time here on the podcast today. I hope people who have the same affinity for where we live that I possess, I hope that they will go look for this book and consider, you know, buying it for themselves, because you really put together a tremendous story about the individual involved in building a building that was downtown Minneapolis. You and I have chatted in the past about other buildings. Oh, and also your Sherlock Holmes series, your mystery series set in Minnesota. A lot of us didn't know until you wrote it that Sherlock Holmes had a strong Minnesota connection.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, first talk to me a little bit about your own personal affinity, because you must have a great interest in these, the architecture of these structures. Tell me a little bit about where that comes from, and your connections, your feelings to these in regards to these buildings.
Well, of course, I grew up in Minneapolis and then made the big move to St. Paul later on. But I went to school at De La Salle in the 1960s, and I pretty much went through the Gateway District where the Metropolitan Building was every day on my way to school for 4 years. And I saw the old Gateway as it existed, and I saw the new Gateway as it became during that period. And so I think it was kind of an out-of-school education for me about historic preservation, about historic buildings. I'd always been interested in architecture as a kid and design, and so I had the opportunity to sort of see firsthand what was happening in Minneapolis, not all of it good, I might add.
The Metropolitan Building, there's so many great aspects to this story involving the Northwestern Guarantee Loan Building to later become the Metropolitan Building. You know, and I think when you and I have spoken before, even though I was alive when that building was still standing, I have no vivid memory because it came down in, what, 1960, 61, in that era?
Yeah, 61, yeah, 61, yeah, 60, 61, 62, yep.
Yeah, and I was, I'm a little bit younger than you are, but I didn't have the same vivid connection that you had to, like, you know, Nicollet Island and the Gateway District, but I do remember driving through, driving down Washington Avenue, and my mother, you know, referring to Skid Row, which you reference in the book several times, and saying, this is where you kids are going to end up. And it's just like, well, thanks for the encouraging words, Mom. But
yeah.
So when I read Metropolitan Dreams, I have these connections to all these places, and you take us through it street by street, intersection by intersection. I mean, until I retired from full-time radio, I worked just two blocks from where the Metropolitan Building, you know, was located before they tore it down.
Yeah, you were close there, because it was at 3rd Street and 2nd Avenue South, so you were just a few blocks away. And in the old Elks Hall, by the way, was where CCO Radio was located for years. So yeah, it was a famous building, remarkable for its great interior atrium, or light court, as they called it in the day. And famous for its ironwork, its glass floors, just a remarkable building, and one that I spent a lot of time trying to figure out why they tore it down, and to this day, it doesn't make much sense.
Well, you know, if you read the introduction, all you got to do is start with the introduction, and it was a custodian in the building who said, they will damn us, they will. And I think that was over the discussion of tearing the building down, because it was, so many of these buildings, Larry, were art. They were not just buildings, they were art.
They were, and the Metropolitan certainly was, I think, one of the most significant office buildings of its era in the United States. Really a unique design in a lot of respects. Not the Light Court wasn't unique, but the way everything was put together was unique. And it was considered the grand building in Minneapolis when it was built. It was really the building that Minneapolis said, we have come of age. We've built this wonderful skyscraper. You know, a city that was a pretty small town in the 1870s, and by 1890, when the Metropolitan Building opened, it was a major city. I mean, the city had grown that quickly.
Chatting with Larry Millett, and we're talking about his book, Metropolitan Dreams, The Scandalous Rise and Stunning Fall of a Minneapolis Masterpiece. And as you take us through the book, you take us through the growth of the Twin Cities, of the growth of Minneapolis, and these other things along the way. And that in itself, you just must be an incredible researcher.
Well, I've done a lot of research over the years. You know, the Metropolitan Building was on the cover of Lost Twin Cities.
Let me pause for a moment, because let me tell people, they if they're not familiar with the video presentation of Lost Twin Cities, as I recall, narrated by the late Dave Moore. There's lots of references to the Lost Twin Cities, and you that was all you doing that.
That was my book. Yep, came out in 1992, and I'm proud to say it's still in print after 27 years, which is a good thing, I guess. And that was a book that I really tried to bring together a lot of the bits and pieces of vanished places and buildings in the Twin Cities, and the Metropolitan Building is featured on the cover of that book because I thought of all the buildings that were gone, it was really the one that pretty much everybody would like to have back, and I still feel that way.
I get the occasion, get the opportunity on occasion, I should say, to work in the Lumber Exchange Building. Is that the last remaining building that might closely be a shadow or whatever? The Lumber Exchange Building is on Hennepin Avenue and Fifth in downtown Minneapolis, and it's referred to oftentimes as the first skyscraper built west of the Mississippi, I think. But is that the last shadow of something like the Metropolitan Building? If people wanted to see what you were referencing when you wrote about the Metropolitan Building?
It's not the last, but it's one of the last, and actually it precedes. It was built before the Metropolitan Building.
Right.
It's one of the, 1886, and it is one of, I just read somewhere that somebody said it's the tallest, the oldest 12-story building in the United States outside of New York City. Which could be true. it's very old. But if you actually want to see a sense of the Metropolitan Building, your best bet is probably the Pioneer Building in St. Paul.
Ah.
It still has its light court. But it's not nearly as grand as the light court in the Metropolitan, but that is the building that most closely probably resembles it today.
Before we talk about the architect who built what became the ultimate building there of the Northwestern Guarantee Loan Building, tell me a little bit about the guy who had the dream or the vision to have a building for his business like that. And that was it. Am I saying the name correct? Is it Menage? Is that?
Yes. Yep. Louis Menage. And he was a New Englander of French extraction who grew up in Massachusetts, came out to Minnesota at a very young age, and parlayed pretty much nothing into a very successful company called the Northwestern Guarantee Loan Company in the 1880s. The problem was that the company was basically, as far as I can tell, a giant Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, when I'm reading about Menage, I'm thinking so many others that you and I have both known that have been in the news more recently. It's just like, really, this is the same story.
Yeah, it's an old story. Yeah, it really is in the United States. And yeah, he had this company that, let's just say they were built on a lot of leverage. And they, very successful company, it seemed like, on paper. And they built this very expensive building as their headquarters. And 3 years after it was built, came the Great Depression of 1893, which was the worst depression in American history up until that time. And Menage's company went belly up in a flash. The bill suddenly came due. And he eventually fled not only Minneapolis, but the United States, and ended up spending several years as a coffee broker in Guatemala, among other things. So it's a great story. He was quite the character.
Well, you do a great job, too, with all of the backstories of all of these characters, including the architect. The architect coming here from, I think, most directly from Milwaukee. And it's amazing how he fell into favor with so many people of influence here for various projects around the area.
Yeah, he did, and it is interesting. He was from Milwaukee. Townsend Mix was his name, and he had been very successful there, but he was kind of running out of steam, and somehow or other he hooked up with William Washburn of Minneapolis, of the Washburn Crosby Company fame, and the builder of the Soo Line Railroad, among other things, and he designed Washburn's huge mansion at Fair Oaks Park in Minneapolis, called Fair Oaks, where that park is today, was where Washburn's mansion and grounds were, and that was his first big commission in Minneapolis, and he started designing skyscrapers for the Globe newspapers and a number of other projects, and he got the big commission to do the Metropolitan Building, the Northwestern Guarantee Loan Building, and then he promptly died. He had tuberculosis, and he was dead within 4 months of the time that the building was completed.
Well, there's so many different aspects of this when we get to your focus on the Gateway Park, which was literally Skid Row. I mean, there's a great image of people just, I don't know, just sleeping, passed out in various states or whatever, because they had nowhere else to go in 1937. Here's one of the fun things, though, about reading about Menage that I laughed out loud, and I apologize, was that with the fact that his board of directors, many of whom did not know that they were on the board,
yes,
including George Pillsbury, who I think, as I recall reading, he had to sue to have himself removed from the board.
Yes, although, you read stories like that and you wonder, well, maybe he did really know, but he decided that he didn't know after Menage started having his troubles. But yes, there were, he apparently, Menage was one of these guys who, had a way of drawing in people whether they knew it or not. And he was fast and loose with the facts, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, do you think that today that the Metropolitan Building The guarantee loan building, the Metropolitan Building. Do you think it would be torn down today?
No, it wouldn't have been. And I believe had it lasted just another 10 years, if they had just left it alone, because it was doing all right. It wasn't losing money. It was a pretty well-occupied building. It had owners who wanted to keep it. But it lasted another 10 years. By that time, in the 70s, think of what happened to Landmark Center in St. Paul. There would have been plenty of people interested in restoring it. I think today it could be a boutique hotel. It could be a office building with a lot of wealthy lawyers in it. It could be residential apartments. Who knows? But there definitely would have. I think it definitely would have been preserved and beautifully restored, and it wouldn't have required a vast amount because the building was remarkably intact when they tore it down. I mean, it had the original elevator. The original hydraulic elevators were still running, 70 years after it was built. So it was a well-built building.
They will damn us, they will.
They will, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and for me, I would love to see that today. I don't know if I don't think I have quite the same ardent, love for these places that you do, that you sound like you do have, but I would still like to see that today. And as I mentioned, every time I go into the Lumber Exchange building, now, especially after reading Metropolitan Dreams, The Scandalous Rise and Stunning Fall of a Minneapolis Masterpiece, it's truly a great and amazing story. I encourage people who have any appreciation for where we live, I encourage them to get a copy of this book and read this book and then follow up with Lost Twin Cities. And just for fun, follow up with so many of the mysteries from Larry Millette. The Sherlock Holmes mysteries. What was the most recent one?
Eisendorf Enigma.
Yeah, you and I spoke about that when that one was out, when I was still on the radio full time.
Yes, we did. Yep.
What's next, Larry? I don't think you're not sitting still.
No, I'm actually working on a contemporary mystery novel, my first one, and I hope to have that out later this year. We'll see how things go. It's called Pineland Serenade, and it's a kind of an offbeat mystery novel set in East Central Minnesota. So that's what's coming up next.
And if people go to StarTribune.com and just search under the search Larry Millette, you'll find so many, including very recent one in January on Streetscapes, that mansion story that you wrote about.
The mansion, yep.
Yeah. Do you feel that those would still be here today if they had lasted a little bit longer?
Possibly. Mansions are tough, and they, especially the big houses, are hard to maintain if they're not, in a place like Summit Avenue. But some of them, yes, definitely. I think had they lasted another, especially the ones that went down in the 50s and 60s, if they had somehow survived a few more years, they might well have ended up being preserved.
Do you drive through town and go, that would have been, that building that used to be there was cool. That one was great. Oh, that one was wonderful.
Yeah, I used to drive my kids crazy, so I don't do it anymore. Yes, I can pretty much tell you what was on every block in downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul at one time or the other.
Yeah, well, you and, because I should point this out, when you were a part of the St. Paul newspaper organization, your collaborator
Don Boxmeyer, yeah.
Don Boxmeyer wrote some great stories there too as well. So
there's, yep.
Yeah. Hey, thank
you. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for keeping those things alive in our memories. I truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It was fun to talk with you.
Metropolitan Dreams is the latest book. It is worth a read if you have any pride in where you live today here in the Twin Cities area. You need to read this book from Larry Millette. Thanks. We'll chat again soon, I hope.
Okay. Good to talk to you.
Take care.
Bye.
You've been listening to another in a series of podcasts that I call Heinz Reads. You can find them at WCCLradio.com on the podcast page. If you'd like to offer any suggestions, ideas, even criticisms, you can write to me at John.Heinz, that's H-I-N-E-S, at Entercom.com. Stay tuned and check back for more author interviews at Heinz Reads.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue. Right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.